Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds as we hear your word this morning so that you can continue to shape and form us as a community with integrity as we follow you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I've been shaping this sermon series about a gospel legacy. What are we passing on to the next generation? And what have we received from the previous generations? It's wonderful to think about what we're living for. In the chapters that we've just got into in 1 Timothy, he's talking about the community. And it's so amazing to think that the legacy that we've received, it hasn't been an individual's effort over the years. It's been a community that has drawn it through the ages. Jesus didn't call us into individual lives to follow Jesus and do our own thing. He called us into community, and he's used that community to draw, to pass on that legacy of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Community is so integral to the message of Jesus. And so today we're going to think about how are we going as a community? How are we doing the things we need to pass on this gospel legacy that we've received as a community? You're probably all part of different communities. You all live in a community, but you're probably all parts of different groups. I know some people are into their four-wheel driving or craft group. We run one here even. That's got its own little community in itself. You might be part of, I don't know, what do people do in their real lives? A knitting, Demetra. Are you part of a knitting group? Celiacs. There you go, celiac support group. Anyone else that part of an interesting group that they'd like to? French, yeah, learning group. What other groups? Table tennis groups, there you go. I know Bev and Bruce, they're involved with, what is it? Up in Leonora. And your Rotary group, there you go. Maria, what group are you involved in? Story time, lovely. All these different groups have got different integrity about them, don't they? They have different operating principles. They all work together. Oh, Dot's got another group. What's that? Oh, yeah, the Bushland. Yeah, and I know Pam's involved with her King's Park. What are they? Guides, yeah, and floral stuff. All these different groups. And I'm always amazed when a group has their establishment date, you know, started in 1830 or, you know, started in 1979. Or it's amazing the lifestyle, time and lifespan of groups. And I don't know if you've noticed, but groups tend to come and go. The local football club that I joined when I was a teenager is no longer anymore. It melded into some other one and changed into something else. They're still playing football around where I grew up, but it's all changed. So it's just phenomenal to think, as a community, God's church has been the same since Christ has started it 2,000 years ago. As we read through 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy, it's amazing. You can just look at it and go, well, here's a bunch of outdated rules for the church. We heard about widows, and I know we've got a few widows in our midst, but we have different support networks in our societies these days where all people, I pray, in Australia are looked after in one way or another. There's means of support there for them. And so the responsibility of the church to care for widows has changed, hasn't it, over the years? So those rules are kind of out the window a little bit. Any slaves here? Oh, all the men put up their hands. And Maria, which is a bit scary. Oh, Peter's being hit. Good masterwork there. Well done, Demetra. That's how we treat our slaves in the church. That's right. No, we don't have any slaves. Not like back in the day, but that was a reality for the early church, wasn't it? There was people that owned people as their slaves. Some of them were Christians, some of them weren't. There was a different dynamic going on in that community. It's kind of reassuring to know that the church has had to deal with some of these huge social issues over its lifetime and has come through it. I don't know about in your local groups and communities when a little controversy comes about, you know, at the football club when should we sell pies and pasties this year or can we sell those hot dogs, and there's disagreement and look out, splits football clubs. You've probably experienced it in all your clubs and communities. Maria was part of a Facebook community group in the last place we lived. It was a new suburb as things were being built, and they had a Facebook page so that everyone could, you know, communicate with each other. It was just wonderful the way that people spoke to each other in that community. Can you imagine when someone's dog was out, someone would leave a post, there's a dog running wild in the street, who are these people, irresponsible dog owners? Or, you know, like a windy day would happen, like, when was it, Thursday or Friday this week? Someone's trampoline has blown into our backyard, who are these irresponsible trampoline owners? And a bit later down, someone's obviously hasn't read the posts. Has anyone seen our trampoline? It's gone missing. But communities, we have a wonderful way of dealing with one another. Within the church, though, Paul knew that we needed to live with an integrity that would reflect the one that we're following. Paul talked about... There was even a habit within the church of things like this happening, being puffed up with conceit, not understanding things, unhealthy cravings for controversy, quarrels about words, envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicion, and constant friction among people. He saw how these things even rose up within the church. We're no different than any other group in one sense. We're a group made up of sinners. But what Paul was pointing out was that when people stop following Jesus and start living for other things, this is when problems happen. For us in the church, if we want to be a church, a community with integrity, we have to keep following the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And that's simple in a way. We all say, yes, we've got Jesus. But it's interesting how in the everydayness of our situations, slaves to masters, widows, all those other lovely relationships, talking to elderly men was another issue that Paul raised. It's amazing how in these everyday situations, we stop following the head and start following our own wants and needs. So as Paul's pointing to us, as a community, not to be following our own needs and wants, but to be following the needs and wants of Christ. It's pretty simple. It's not rocket science as a community, but it's amazing how we let that we let Christ fall to the side as we start striving for the things we want to accomplish in the church. I haven't seen those things happening here. Maybe I've still got my rose-colored glasses on as your pastor. I think as a community, we do pretty good. The love that you've experienced this morning, even with Louise's prayer, caring for one another, is so critically important. If we can't step into each other's lives where it matters most, then we are failing as a church. You probably all saw little areas in that last faith talk question that we could be doing better as a community, but that's an ongoing discussion, isn't it? Like Timothy had to bring to his church these instructions, these words of knowledge about how we are to form with, to live with integrity to one another. We have different problems in our worlds. Paul had no idea about internet pornography. I'm sure if he did, he probably would have said something about that to his church community. There's other things in our church that weren't addressed back in the day, but as we follow Christ, we need to be have our finger on the pulse, don't we? We need to be able to speak with Christ's love into each other's lives so that we can correct the wrongs that we see in one another, so that we can keep living with integrity. Because the one thing that we all see happen in our groups is that when they fall apart, they no longer function to serve the need that they were formed for. So the support network for the celiacs, if they have a fallout, they can no longer support one another in that. The children reading group down at the library, if no one likes how the lady's reading the book and no one goes along, then the children don't get taught. We at Concordia, what's at the heart of what we're doing? We're one in Christ. We have been saved by Jesus Christ. The Son of God came into this world to die for each and every one of us. He has called us into community to continue to share that good news with the world. If we forget who we are and whose we are, then we will no longer be able to continue on in integrity. Here at Concordia, I think we need to shore up who we are. We need to formulate a picture of a mission statement as such about what we're trying to achieve as a church, so that we don't lose focus, so that we don't fall into controversies, get stuck with evil suspicions about each other. That sense of friction that comes when we're not seeing eye to eye with one another. I think over the coming year, I'd like to see us as Concordia own who we are, the direction that Christ is calling us to serve him in, and then diligently step out into the community in that way. So I'm excited about being your pastor in this season of change as we look forward to reaping a harvest, as Isabel said to us this morning. There's work there to do, and we'll do it with integrity as a community as we follow Jesus Christ as our head. So I pray for you this week as you follow Christ. You may let Christ's love for you influence how you deal with one another, and that through that, together, we can do so much more than we could ever do as individuals in this world, that we can bring this gospel legacy that we've received and shine as a light on a hill to these suburbs around us so that more can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All right. And I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen.